Hello and welcome to this week's Home is Where the Hearth Is podcast. And we're waxing at the moment on the theme, in the broadest sense of the word, I suppose, of how great books save us from slavery. And last week we talked about the two spirits that preside over every age of man since time immemorial. The spirit of the age and the spirit of God, or the spirit of the age of the Holy Spirit, or the Zeitgeist and the Heiliger Geist. These are the two spirits. And those who allow themselves to be seduced by the spirit of the particular age in which they find themselves are unable to think outside the ideological box. The box of fashion in which they find themselves enclosed. And we use various examples of how these people that would have been very up to date and would be following the spirit of their age and the Catholics in these times would be seen as a weird minority and often a despised minority, but indeed usually a despised minority. And yet the Catholics following the spirit of God instead of the spirit of the age speak the same language across the centuries and not just the language of whatever happens to be fashionable. So we mentioned the various fashions of the past 500 years or 400 years or so. We mentioned the Puritanism, which was rampant on both sides of the pond in the 17th century. We mentioned the revolutionary forces, particularly the French Revolution, at the end of the 18th century. We mentioned imperialism and specifically the British Empire, and all of the patriotic jingoism that goes with that, and all the triumphalism that goes with that. And then we mentioned the 20th century, the past century, the bloodiest so far in human history, as an age where the spirit of the age was totalitarian, the age of dictatorship, the age of secular fundamentalist tyranny. And such is the lack of history amongst people that there are many seem to be quite happy to lead us along that path again. So that was the introduction, if you like, last week. But now let's look at the great books and how can the great books liberate us from slavery? Well, they liberate us from slavery by liberating us from the spirit of the age. The great books speak to all generations, as Ben Jonson said of William Shakespeare. He was not of an age but for all time, not for an age but for all ages, not of his age but for all ages. Shakespeare is still read because he is still relevant, because he still speaks perennial truths about the permanent things. So that's what we have to learn from the great books. And what we see in them is the use of reason, and indeed the triumph of reason in terms of the two great branches of reason, theology and philosophy. Indeed, in C.S. Lewis's book, The Pilgrim's Regress, we find that John, the everyman character, somewhat like Christian in The Pilgrim's Progress, is saved from his being imprisoned and enslaved by a hideous monster called the Spirit of the Age. And he's saved by a beautiful woman in shining armor. And her name is Reason. And we are told that she has two younger sisters, theology and philosophy. These are the spirits of truth, if you like, the spirits of Vatio, of reason, that preside over the great books. Also, we see by reading the great books, and as I may have quoted last week, but it's worth quoting again, that Chesterton said of the Catholic Church, that it was the one continuous institution that has been thinking about thinking for 2,000 years. He also called it a heavenly chariot careering through the ages, reeling but erect, seeming to be about to crash in every generation because of the attacks upon it, but nonetheless outliving the spirit of any particular antagonistic age. And he also said that the Catholic Church is the one institution that saves us from the indignity of being slaves of our own time. So the great books show us history. They show us those three threads of history which we've spoken before, all of which are anthropological. In other words, to understand ourselves, we have to understand who we are. And we are, and we see these three strands of humanity, of who we are, playing itself out in every human heart, and therefore, by extension, in every human society. And that's the good, the bad, and the beautiful, epitomized by Homo Viator, man on a pilgrimage, man on a journey, man who's on a quest to get to heaven. That's the good, ultimately the saints. The bad are those who refuse that journey, who refuse that quest. Homo superbus, proud man, would rather go his own way than to follow the appointed path. And then finally we have anthropos, the Greek word for man, which according to Plato at least, although that's argued about by some etymologists, that anthropos means he who turns upwards, or he who looks upwards, in wonder specifically. And it's through this looking up in wonder and seeing the cosmos, as the great music, as Tolkien called it, or as being sung into being by God, or by Aslan, as C.S. Lewis saying it, or as shining forth the grandeur of God, or as being as Hopkins expressed it, or as being a hymn of praise, the mountains themselves being a hymn of praise to God, shouting the name God, as Samuel Taylor Coleridge sees it in his poem Hymn Before Sunrise in the Vale of Chamonix. That basically that we are meant through humility to see with eyes of wonder and to be moved to that contemplation which opens us up to the fullness of reality. That's anthropos, that is seeing the beauty in the cosmos and ultimately being the beauty in the cosmos and also creating as the Lord creates beautiful things. So the great works of art, music, literature, the great books themselves are a product of anthropos. The beautiful sense of wonder and contemplation at the heart of he who looks up to the heavens and beyond the mere gutter of his instinct. So we see in the great books reason, theology, philosophy, history, the good, the bad, and the beautiful in each human heart and in each human generation. We also see literature basically breaking into two, not breaking the boat, should we say, literature taking two forms, both of which are reflective of who we are as human beings. Literature tells a story. Literature is narrative. Therefore, it can show us Homo Viator, man on the journey, and Homo Superbus, he who refuses the journey. Christ himself, of course, tells us the most beautiful truth through the telling of stories, his parables, where we learn the lessons about who we are and who we're meant to be and where we're meant to be going and where we're not meant to be going. And then the other aspect of literature, apart from narrative, the telling of stories, is the lyrical, the singing of songs. And of course, this would be lyrical poetry. Some of those poems I just mentioned, God's Grandeur by Jeremy Hopkins, Hymn Before Sunrise in the Vale of Chamonix. These are hymns of praise, signifying man looking in wonder with eyes that recognize beauty and express that beauty beautifully. So that lyrical side, as opposed to the narrative side of literature, is also, of course, expressed in music and in the visual arts, although, of course, both music and the visual arts can also tell stories. The key thing, then, is that the humanities teach us about humanity. I wrote something recently about Einstein, who basically said that teaching only science, technology, engineering and math, the so-called STEM subjects, which are the obsession of modern education, stunts the growth of a man, turning him basically into a possibly useful tool, but not into a fully fledged human being. So even the greatest of the 20th century scientists understands the importance of the humanities. The humanities teach us about humanity and also teach us to be human. If we want a humane society, we have to have a society that understands humanity. And to understand humanity, we have to have societies educated in the humanities. The humanities teach us to love our neighbours, not merely in space, but in time. In other words, now, when we think about loving our neighbours, we usually think about the neighbour we're actually going to bump into on the street, perhaps. or perhaps even the neighbours on the other side of the world who need our help. But we also need to remember that we are part of a continuum. As Chesterton says, tradition is an extension of the franchise. It's the democracy of the dead. It's the proxy of the dead and the enfranchisement of the unborn. That we have a duty both to love our neighbours in the past, not to be cancelling them, as is the mania of our present spirit of the age, the present zeitgeist. We need to love our brothers and sisters in the past. We need to learn from them. We need to meet them where they are and not expect them to be exactly like us. That's basically the same sort of psychology which we find in racism, not liking those who are not like us. So the past is different. It's also very much the same. So if these different cultures are part of this same human culture, that we need to understand, respect and love our neighbours in the past. And we also need to love and respect our neighbours in the future. In other words, another thing we need to do is to ensure that we pass the baton or pass the torch, so that which we have inherited as a civilization, the 3,000 years of these great books, are passed on to future generations. It is a sin not to love our ancestors. It's a sin not to love the unborn, the future generations, by handing on to them the heritage of Western civilization. Basically, I think we can probably conclude this discussion to remind ourselves it's the Catholic Church with its perennial teaching in terms of reason, theology, philosophy, in terms of the great books that she has inspired, both fiction and non-fiction, both narrative and lyrical, that she saves us from the slavery of the spirit of our own age by showing us the spirit of all ages. So reason is at the heart of the Church. Fides et ratio, faith and reason. That the Church is the beautiful bride of Jesus Christ. And as Chesterton said, that beautiful bride of Jesus Christ rides chariot through the ages, always besieged, always attacked, reeling but erect, never overthrown. So, to summarise and to conclude, that the great books save us from slavery. Read the great books. You have nothing to lose but your chains. Thanks so much for listening to this Home is Where the Hearth Is podcast in the Inner Sanctum. Please do join me next week when we'll take up another topic. No idea at the moment what it will be, but I'm sure that by next week I'll have that idea and we'll run with it. Until then, have a great week. Thanks for being members of the Inner Sanctum, and God bless you all.